Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Capper to the shotgun, four wide. There's the shotgun snap. With time, he'll turn and throw, and he's got a man. He's on the run. Look at him go. There goes Cecil Shorts. He's going. He's to the 20, the 15, 10, 5, and he's reaching. Touchdown. Touchdown, Jacksonville. 80 yards. 80 yards! Oh my, 80 yards! No timeouts. Down five. Pressure coming. Gabbert plants, turns, and he's going for the whole ball of wax, and he's got Cecil Shorts. Shorts catches it! Touchdown, Jacksonville! Oh my goodness! What a catch by Cecil Shorts!
You are amazing, Cecil Shorts. What a catch!
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Mike Dempsey.
And E.T. hanging out as he has all week long. Carry me. Is your back sore? Because I've been riding that back all week long, man. Back from vacation. Wanted to take it easy, and my man E.T. has made it very easy on me. What's up, bro?
What's happening, Mike?
You got Cliff Averill's. What does he have going on this weekend?
The football camp he gives away. He gives back to the community. He does a free football camp every year. Football camp at Clay High School tomorrow. And a family fun day on Sunday at Van Zandt Park in, off of County Road 220.
What time is the family fun day?
1 to 5 on Sunday.
Okay, because if it's rolling in weather-wise, that back half of Sunday might be where I'm keeping my eyes peeled, right? The only thing I ever worry about when it comes to the weather is the golf forecast, E.
Right.
And I may have finagled a way to play both Saturday and Sunday this week. It may have worked out that way, so I'm very abreast of the latest meteorological forecast. You're going to be fine tomorrow for the camp, by the way.
That the weather portion on your phone is probably one of the most frequently used.
It is
on your phone,
and it's exactly the areas where I play the most golf is where it's, you know, you're like, you're looking. I asked you, you know, how's the weather going to be for you tomorrow? Where are you at? You're looking through your phone for Fleming Island. I'm like, oh, please, sir.
I got it.
I got this right here. All right. I'll be just 1 second. No, we're looking good for tomorrow.
Sounds good.
We are looking good for half the day on Sunday, at least according to Mike Burrish and the crew and those guys. So keep your fingers crossed, bro.
They're crossed.
We'll have a good weekend. All right. Then we'll talk a little Jaguar football with you today. Looking back on yesterday, we asked you which Jaguar is most likely to earn his first trip to the Pro Bowl in the upcoming season, and 52% went with the selection of Miles Jack, if there is to be one, who breaks through for the first time this year. 21% going with Leonard Fournette, 20% going with Dede Westbrook. So a combined 41% thinking it would be more likely to come from one of those two offensive playmakers, and then 7% went off the board with a variety of picks, but nobody gaining a whole lot of individual traction there. So that was yesterday's question of the day. E, we are double dipping today.
I like the double dip thing.
You know, it's Friday. Let's be honest. Right? People are like, oh, slow news day. You're damn right it's a slow news day, okay? It's June 21st. The Jags are wherever they are. You know, you just don't want as John Osher and I talked about early in the week, the statement from the team at any point between now and July 25th that begins with the three words, we are aware. Right, like we are aware of the circumstances involving such and such as run in with the law. Okay, that's all you don't want. You know that, and some injury because somebody did something. You know, stepped on the poodle and fell over the cushions or whatever the heck happened. You know, no injuries, no arrests. It's a quiet time. We want it to be a quiet time for your Jacksonville Jaguars as of right now. So, with that in mind, we do have a football related first half of our question of the day today. The question of the day presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. And we asked you, you know, with the NBA draft last night, the NBA doesn't mess around. Now, they do have a long season. You compare it to the NFL. It's ridiculously long. Right? Here we are halfway through the year, and the NBA just wrapped up a couple of weeks ago. So basically, they'll take it at least into the very early part of June. So 5 full months in the season, and they're rolling back in November and December. So, you know, it's a good probably 3 months longer, maybe 2.5 months longer than the NFL season, something like that. We understand. But they don't have as much time then in their offseason. They get the draft done right away, though. And it's interesting because, you know, it fluctuates year to year, I think, with and it, probably in every sport to some degree. But NFL free agency seems to be, excuse me, something that brings a lot of eyes to computer screens, to televisions, right? There's always there's a great interest in your team year-round, even if they're not playing games. They're only playing games for those 4 months, hopefully five, if you're going deep into the postseason. And even if there aren't always the same exact number of big names, there are plenty of names that you know out there. It's a little bit thinner in the NBA. This year, a lot of names in free agency. Next year, might not be the case as much. And it's not like you know all these college basketball players either. But you do know Zion Williamson. You do know R.J. Barrett. If you followed college hoops at all, you know the Duke run in the tournament. If you watch the tournament, you know Ja Morant. So you kind of knew they were going to be the top three picks in the draft. It was pretty much locked in. But so they had their draft last night. And their draft obviously is less of a production than the NFL, spread out over 3 days. The NBA only has two rounds. They knock it out in one single night. I don't know who's watching round two. I mean, I put it this way. I would watch round two on occasion over the years, but did not watch it yesterday. I watched through pick three, saw that the Knicks didn't screw it up, and I was content.
That was it.
Yeah, I was content to move on to how far is tattoo far, because there was four back-to-back episodes last night on MTV. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How far is too far? Tattoo far. And in every episode, you get four bad tattoo reveals. So that's 16 potential train wrecks and lives ruined in
30-minute episodes?
In one evening.
Hour
yeah.
episodes.
30-minute episodes. So every 15 minutes, you're seeing two really bad ideas. You know, the bad idea being the people that agree to go on the show and have someone else select a tattoo that they're going to have to live with, at least until they get it covered up, or potentially a lot longer than that. So they do their draft last night. The question of the day, the first question of the day, asks you, would you like to follow the NBA model? Would you rather the NFL hold their draft before free agency each year? Now, there's some logistical issues with that as well. You do get extra time to scout these guys, to visit with them. There are reasons, but it's nothing that's insurmountable. If the NFL felt like it would benefit them in terms of fan interest, I think they would explore it at least. I think veteran players wouldn't like it, because veteran players want free agency to happen with as many holes on rosters around the National Football League as possible, right? Once you draft Josh Allen, you're not looking at signing a pass rusher, right? If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, if it goes that way. Now, you could argue that you could still find success because there are going to be teams that miss out on what they need. It's going to create even more of a demand, perhaps, in some cities. Whatever the case, would you rather have the draft first? Would you rather leave it as it is, or do you simply have no preference? And honestly, very few people going with no preference in the early voting today, and the poll is pretty close. So that's one thing you can weigh in on. But the more fun thing on this Friday, at least I think it'll be fun, is we're going to talk about jobs, okay? I took my son in. It was one of these setup deals. What was your first job that you ever had? First paying job that you ever had?
I was a cabana boy.
What?
At Club Continental.
What
in Orange Park.
What did this involve?
I just worked the grill. I was a grill master.
How old were you?
14.
14 years old.
It gets better. I was also a bartender.
You were bartending at 14. Nice. Did you look unnaturally, like, did you look like you look right now at 14?
No, absolutely
wow.
not.
All right, Club Continental. Are they still in business?
Yes.
Wow! Statute of limitations?
But granted, there was somebody else there with me.
Oh, okay.
An older gentleman, but
were you actually were pouring and
mixing? Oh, I was a mixologist.
Mixologist. How about this guy? Unbelievable. Well, my son's taking it a little slower than that. All right. I got it. I don't know if you went and just applied to be cabana boy or you knew somebody. Was that the kind of situation?
My mom got me the job.
All right. You know, which is what I'm kind of doing. You know, I got a good friend, Mike Pullen, who owns the St. Augustine Shores Golf Course where I live. And I played that course probably more than any course I've played in my life because I'm lazy, and it's right there, and it's fun, and it's a blast, and he owns
good course?
Grand Reserve, St. Augustine Shores.
No, is it a good course?
It's a fun course, and they own Grand Reserve down in Bunnell as well, where I play pretty much every weekend with my buddy Ken Brady here, a sales manager at 1010XL. Anyway, I ran into Mike. I was at the driving range maybe a month ago before we went on vacation. I said, hey, my son needs some employment experience. He needs some toughening up as well. He needs to, you know, I know this. He's good at video games. He's good at checking his phone. Not quite sure what else he's good at right now. He makes good grades. He's a good kid, smart kid. So I went in there. I said, use him however you want. You know, I'm sure you can find something to use it for. He goes, yeah, bring him in. We'll get him all set up. So he is going to embark on his first employment beginning on Monday. And he, too, is 14. He'll turn 15 in a few weeks.
Is he going to be in, like, the picker, like, picking up the balls and all that? Like,
I don't think you go straight to the picker. I think that's probably a coveted spot because you're just kind of chilling out there on the driving range, you know, driving around. So today, our bonus question today, we want to know, what was your first job? What was your best job? And I think the most fun, what was the worst job that you ever had? And much like Jeff Prosser said when we were talking earlier this morning, I don't know if I had any one job that was completely terrible, but there were aspects of certain jobs that were completely terrible. So we'll talk about that a little bit today. Have some fun with it. If you want to hit us up on social media, you can do that on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at IME to the T, where I hope you're following, so you can check out the amazing dance video. Oh, we will play a clip today on the program.
I got an influx of followers based after you reposted that.
No doubt, bro. District champ shuffle back from the Clay High School days. ET, already a seasoned mixologist at this point, was ready to throw down and show off his dancing and singing skills, and he did it with great flair. So we'll talk about that a little bit as we go along today. So hit us up at MDI_1010XL and at IME to the T on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, or the phone lines, or the text line, which is driven and built by Lifetime Enclosures. Same number, 641-1010. So get on board with that. Jaguars Today on a Friday. Mike Dempsey and Emmanuel Thalloran on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hey, E, we got so many little eclectic things going on today, right?
What you talking about?
Well, first of all, big happy birthday to Tom Champion, right?
Yes, sir.
Who everybody, not anyone has a bad word to say about this guy.
He's right? Always happy.
He is always happy. Smiling Tom, among his many monikers. You know him as Arrow. You know him as Tom Fridley. You know him as a lot of great things. He's a fantastic guy. Today's his birthday, and he popped into the studio, and he, like me every day, goes, what happened to the garbage can? I don't know. I can't keep up with it, Tom. Tom is so nice. It's not his responsibility. He's in here. It's the slobs that host radio shows, myself included, in that list, that, you know, we've got recycling bins for paper, recycling bins for plastic, there's garbage, and eventually, somehow, they disappear throughout the course of the week, and there's one can, and everybody's throwing everything in it, no matter what it is.
Right.
And you just, after a certain point, assume it's garbage because it's all mixed in there. So Tom, just, he sees a problem. Does he complain? No.
See problem, fix problem.
Fix problem. He should get the job at the St. Augustine Shores instead of my son. Because I'm telling you, I don't know if my son's got that, you know, initiative yet. So I hope so. But happy birthday, Tom. You know everybody around here absolutely loves you. You're very welcome. He and Tony Smith, they make me sick, the two of them, okay? Because they're so nice, and they're universally loved, respected, and appreciated around these parts. All right, there you go. Best job, worst job, first job, all those things we're talking about today a little bit. My first job, E, was bagging groceries at Publix in DeLand, Florida. Mr. Atkinson was the manager there, and I went in. This is back, you know, I go into Publix now, and I look at these kids, and they're wearing shorts and golf shirts, and I'm so freaking jealous, man.
What was the uniform like?
Oh, I mean, it was just, you know, you had to wear pants. You had full dress pants and a tie. You had to definitely have a tie.
Y'all wore ties back then?
We absolutely wore a tie at Publix. This is probably like 84, something like that. You know, I was in high school. And I'd bag groceries, I don't know, 20 hours a week or whatever it was. And it was, you know, it was a fine job, great people. I really met a lot of fun people. I met some people I'm still friends with to this day doing that job. But the worst aspect of it was probably in the summer when you got that tie on and you got those dress pants on and it's about 106 degrees in the parking lot with all the sun glinting off the car windshields, you had to spend an hour outside every day just corralling carts, just kind of strolling around the parking lot and pulling in the carts. It was good because you got out of the eye of the bosses, but it was bad because it's 106 degrees outside, but it wasn't that bad at all. I'll never forget the first time I closed. You know, you close, you got to clean up the store for however long it takes. And on my way out, you know, on Saturdays, you'd wax the floors, right? And it was like, it took like 2 hours. You'd do the whole store. But it was kind of a fun thing, you know, kind of camaraderie. And the store closed back then at like 9 o'clock. So you're out of there by 11. And I'll never forget you because you could change into, you know, clothes because you're putting sealer on the floor and all this stuff. And, you know, you're not wearing your tie and your dress pants in. And I'm walking out with my bag of stuff. And Mr. Atkinson's like, stop right there. He thinks, I don't know, because I'm the new guy. I'm going to be looting the salad dressing or something. I'm not sure. And he went through that bag. And, you know, of course, I'm not taking anything from my employer, man. And
is that what he thought?
I think it was just, it was probably one of those deals. Maybe not. But I assumed it was one of those deals. I'm a new employee. This is my first time closing, you know, random spot check. So he knows that I'm liable to do it. And
integrity check.
I guess, right? Like, we trust you because we check, right? Trust but verify, I believe, was very popular in the 1980s. So that was my first job. Honestly, my best job, even if I take 10-10 out of the mix, I'm living my best life, man. I mean, between 10-10, doing the Jaguar game day stuff, doing SiriusXM, I'm very happy with my employment situation, right? So I've had a lot of fun jobs, but I really feel like I'm in my best job. And I don't know if I had a worst job, just like where everything was hateful about it. But I will say this, for people who live down in St. Augustine or remember the old IGA grocery store, which was right across from the post office in downtown St. Augustine, and I worked there when I was in college and did everything, you know, bag groceries, stock shelves, whatever. And after a certain point, I worked in the meat department, like as a meat cutter. I was not a butcher. Like, I couldn't take a side of beef and break it down.
That's what I automatically thought you were a
butcher. It wasn't like that, but I did have the white coat, right? And it would be covered in blood and all this because, you know, I'm hacking away at various things. A lot of it's just like you get a box of chicken on ice and you just got to put it in trays and wrap it up and put it out. You know, it was no big deal. But I think the statute of limitations has passed. Put it this way. They're no longer in business, all right? And I was under orders. I know that historically hasn't gotten everyone off. I was just following orders. But we used to sell the ground beef to a certain Mexican restaurant, which I will not name, because they had the most delicious freaking taco salad. I used to eat there in college all the time until I started providing their ground beef or what passed as ground beef. Bro, they had us take that. We'd get these boxes of beef hearts, cow hearts, right? 40-pound box, and they'd be frozen together in a block, okay? And, I mean, it is beef. It's part of the cow, right? But it's not meat the way you think of it. And I would get on, like, a bandsaw and take these frozen blocks of cow hearts and cut them up into the size, like, I don't know, like 12-inch long pieces that are like an inch square around, so I could force them through the grinder, grind them up with some other various things that would go there. I'm not even going to tell you what was in there. But let me just say, the reason it was so delicious, trust me, the fat content wasn't low. We were not skimping on the fat, all right? And by the end of that, the grinder is full of, like, bits of cow heart. I'm covered in just everything. And a couple of times a week, I was responsible for cleaning the whole meat department. Like shut the door, get out the high-powered hose, and just hose this whole room down. And everything, all this stuff would come sludging up to the drain, and then you'd have to scoop it out because it's cold. It was just like a nasty aspect of life. It's like, you know, if you went to the stockyards and you saw the cow taking the shot that they do to the brain, that little thing where they stick the rod, right, you might not have the a hankering for a hamburger that day, you know?
I love burgers.
Never went back to that Mexican restaurant, ever. I'm telling you.
How do you know that Mexican restaurant?
Because the guy, the owner of the Mexican restaurant, would come in and they would specifically grind these packages up and we'd put them on trays and we'd have like these 10 to 20 pound packages of, if you call it beef, fine. All right, whatever you want to call it. And they would go right into the deep freeze into a, like we just stack them and the guy would come with a shopping cart. And he was the only one that they were prepared specially for that restaurant. Trust me, I know.
The back door?
No, he'd come in and he'd go and he'd get a cart. And like if you saw it, you wouldn't know the difference. It's, you know, it looks, you know, because beef hearts have a lot of blood in them, apparently. They look very red and look delicious. I guess it was delicious. So that was maybe the worst aspect of a job that I had. That I can think of, anyway. Maybe if I blocked anything out. So your first job was cabana boy and mixologist.
Yes, that doesn't
sound so terrible. You're telling me on the break you made really nice tips because the customers come in and be like, no, sir, you need to pour that a little stronger.
That's not a Washington apple or whatever.
Right. You need to put three shots of this in there. So what was your worst job that you ever had?
I don't know if I had a worst job. My last job where I was at, just doing politic radio, I really didn't care to just listen to politics all day long.
Yeah.
So I would probably say that. It wasn't a bad job, it's just that aspect of it.
I board opt at a station like that, like a news talk station, and some shows were great, you know, and I really just like enjoyed listening to it.
And you learn.
And I'm like an AM radio junkie. I really am. I love talk radio, but I can see what you're talking about. If you're not into whatever the show is, and you got to listen to it every single day, much like this program for people who may have it piped into their place of work. I'm sorry. Okay. So what's the best job you've ever had? Feel free to say present job excluded. So we're all off the hook.
Well, I went to school for this right here.
Right.
So excluding this, I'd probably have to say, you know, my time in the Coast Guard.
United States Coast Guard. They taught you to swim.
They put me on my Mike Phelps vibe.
I'm glad that they did.
I told you I was in remedial swimming when I was in boot camp, right?
That's why I keep bringing it up.
That's right.
Okay. My man E, Coast Guard extraordinaire. All right, you can keep those submissions coming in on social media. We'll have a little bit of fun with that today. We will listen in, reflect on what Tony Boselli and Jeff Loggeman had to say in part last night, talking about some things going on in the Jaguar offseason, including Yannick Ngakoue potentially sitting until he gets a new deal. We'll get a couple of thoughts from those guys as they appeared on Jags Happy Hour last night. If you'd like to get in, be a part of the conversation, take it anywhere you'd like. 641-1010 on the phone lines. Also the text line for the same number, which is built by Lifetime Enclosures. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Ngakoue, every right to do what he's doing, in my opinion. His business. He's been a model professional. He's been great. It's a dispute about money. Every team has players that go through that. Yeah. That's nothing new.
Nothing new there.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That's Tony Boselli, and you heard Jeff Loggeman chime in at the end right there. Kind of matter of fact about Yannick Ngakoue's situation. He does have the right. People say, well, he's under contract. They can fine him. Does he have the right? He does have the right under the collective bargaining agreement to withhold his services. There is a well laid out penalty for what they can fine him. You know, much like Telvin Smith didn't show up for the mandatory minicamp, Yannick Ngakoue, we assume, just because he didn't post his on social media, we assume he's still got a letter that fined him $88,000 plus for not being there for the 3-day minicamp. Whether or not he ever actually has to give the team that money is another conversation, but he does have the right to withhold his services. It is business. I get that. There's, at this point, no indication necessarily that he's not going to be there for the start of the season. But what if he is? Does that change your opinion of Yannick's approach? Because he's already held out of something that's mandatory that he's compelled to be at, and thus put himself in position where he could be fined $88,000 plus. Again, not the first time we've seen this. It is minicamp. It's not as, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not as, it doesn't have a deadline to it yet. It doesn't have a deadline feel to it yet. Now, maybe Yannick Ngakoue and his representatives have an idea in their mind, like, hey, you know, you're either going to pay us or we're not coming in at all, or we're going to come in at a certain date and we're just trying to express our displeasure, trying to put a little pressure on you, whatever the case. I think this whole dynamic changes if we get to training camp and there's no Unique Ngakoue around and there's no contract extension seemingly right over the horizon. We have no way of knowing, by the way, how close or how far apart they are. At least I have no way of knowing. Maybe somebody's got a better clue than I do. But, again, I think Jan at this point not ready to bend. It's very early in the process. It seems early in the process anyway. I mean, this is the first off season he's been eligible for a contract extension. And at the same time, you know, training camp is over a month away, so you've got some time to get down to business. And, you know, the team is looking at it like we still have him under contract for a year. There's not that pressure of having the franchise tag applied and trying to lower that cap number or anything like that. Now, Ross Tucker's made a few appearances from The Athletic. He's written for Sports Illustrated, former player in the league. Smart guy like Ross, who had him on many times over the years on 1010XL. He was on the Frangie show earlier this week. He was on XL Primetime yesterday. Wrote a piece about the Jags potentially being the most undisciplined team in the National Football League. And, you know, he cites his reasoning. One of the things he talked about, he just thought, you know, I listened to a large part of the interview on my way home yesterday, and it seemed that Ross felt like just not a great look, or, you know, bad judgment on the part of Jalen Ramsey and Leonard Fournette to make that video and just to put that out there. I do think we're living in a different time now. But at the same time, you don't see every team having players do that. You wouldn't imagine that with the New England Patriots, was one of the things they talked about yesterday. And, you know, the fact that Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone have reputations for being hard-nosed guys, certainly Coughlin as a disciplinarian, yet they can't rein this behavior in, assuming they want it reined in. This was Ross Tucker yesterday on XL Primetime talking about Jalen and Fournette's Instagram video and the desire for Jalen to get a new contract.
You get these guys, and you would think that they would think better of putting that video out there. Not to mention the fact, I mean, Jalen, they got you for the fifth-year option in 2020. They can tag you in 2021. So the video, he doesn't come across as having the best business sense because they got him. And frankly, the fact that he posts that video and says that stuff tells me that the Jaguars are doing the right thing by going year to year until he matures, because he just comes across as very immature.
All right, a couple of things. I think there's two different issues here, and you can certainly agree or disagree, and you're welcome to weigh in on what Ross Tucker had to say on XL Primetime yesterday. When we talked about Jalen not having good business sense, see, in that sense, I disagree. Okay, you could talk about his maturity level to decide to post a, you know, kind of a private joking conversation, talk about, you know, bring your business out there, or however. I don't know what the great downside to it is, but in terms of having business sense, when he says, you know, Jalen doesn't realize, I think Jalen does realize that Jalen's not an idiot. Jalen is a very smart guy, as a matter of fact, from the small amount of time that I've interacted with him one-on-one. He knows he's under contract this year. He knows that they picked up the fifth-year option. He's not stupid. He knows they can franchise tag him after that. And when you say that, let's call it agitating for a new deal, right? Whatever. I don't mean that in a negative sense in any way. He's trying to stir the pot a little bit. As an example of bad business sense, to me, if he sits there and plays a good soldier, E, what's their impetus to act on anything, right? Well, if he's going to go along with this is great because it's really beneficial to the team. I think Tony and I figured it out. It's something like, he'd make an average of about 4 years, $14 million per over the next 4 years, something like that if he plays this out, which cornerback contracts are already above that in an average annual salary range, right? So he would expect to, as he said, you know, oh, Lord, this thing is going to get crazy with the numbers, maybe $20 million. Who knows what he's thinking in his head? But if he sits there and he shows up for everything and he says everything's hunky-dory, I guess you could say, well, you know, the team would appreciate and respect that, and they would reward him for his team-first attitude. You buying that?
Nope.
It's business, right? Right. I mean, if you want to be the good soldier, that's great. But if you think that is more likely to light a fire under the Jaguars front office, I guess you could argue that, you know, him doing things like this and make them question whether or not they should continue to go year to year. But I don't think they're itching to rip up his deal right now and give him a new one.
How much do you feel like the outside influence on the whole contract talk? Like, if nobody was talking about contracts, do you think Jalen would be doing this? Because he knows that he's not getting a contract.
I think that's part of it, right? That's what I'm saying. Like if he just says, you know what, as it stands now, they're doing this with Jan. I can play this out with me. They've got me under control for longer than they have Jan. I'm not going to get a contract anytime soon. And he could sit there and just show up and or not show up for OTAs and show up for minicamp just the way he does, and that's fine. Or he could say, you know what, if I'm not getting one anyway, let me just throw this out there. Hey, you know what? Strike now, team. I'm willing to give you the discount. I'm willing to do at least consider it, something like that. Squeaky wheel gets the grease is a common expression. And I'm not saying in Jalen's mind this whole thing is this great orchestrated thing. I think there is some spontaneity and some – that's his personality. He's just going to put it out there. Whatever it is, however he feels, he didn't have any fear of putting it out there unconventionally. People – in the NFL, defensive players don't critique quarterbacks publicly the way he did. And he's like, well,
trash.
This is how I feel. Trash. He's okay. This guy, he's pretty good. Whatever, right?
I like fourth quarter, Blake.
I don't think that showed a lack of business sense on Jalen's part. In fact, I think you could argue that making a stink can maybe get the ball rolling a little bit sooner. You know, you got it's a fine line to walk. It could turn your team off, certainly. But guess what? They have control of the situation anyway, unless you hold out, right? And I who knows where that goes down the road with Jalen Ramsey. I don't know. So I tend to disagree a little bit. I think there is some immaturity with Jalen. I mean, Jalen threatened to go to war with the media, remember last year. Got suspended, you know, briefly for that. So there is some of that. I think he probably regrets going as far as he did, maybe publicly with some of the quarterback stuff. But that is, again, in his nature. It's in his personality. And young players, look, I've seen plenty of them come through Jacksonville and other areas and grow tremendously. We all grow, I hope. You know, think of yourself in your early 20s if you're, you know, over 30 years old right now, and just even that difference. He's shaking his head. What was Cabana Boy up to back in the day? Lord only knows. Man. So that was Ross Tucker on Jalen's Instagram video. Tony Boselli last night on Jaguar Happy Hour weighing in on social media's effect on how players communicate.
This is how people communicate. This is like the norm. What Jalen Ramsey was doing was on Instagram Live, a bunch of followers, and he was having fun. He does not view that as him trying to cause problems. He literally said, you know, I'm not getting a contract. There goes the hometown discount, and I'm going to get paid.
That's it, right? I mean, Boselli really taking things in matter-of-fact stride right now as far as everything, you know, kind of swirling around. I'm not saying these are major issues, but Ross Tucker's point was you've got a lot of things going on. Leonard Fournette has shown, he's shown some immaturity. You don't get suspended in your first season for simply missing the team photo, right? You had a bunch of guys over in London get detained, if not technically arrested, however you want to categorize it. And as I've heard Jeff Prosser tell from sources he has, plenty of guys that may have been on hand that bailed and let those four be left holding the bag, so to speak, right? So there have been examples you can point to, and it's easier to point to them when your team goes 5-11 than when it goes 11-5. So that's a factor as well. If the Jags are winning, you're like they're free-spirited, right?
It's all love.
It is. It's all love, and as it is now with Telvin, regardless, all love. Just put that fist and say it's all lovey, and you can say anything.
Whatever you want.
It's the new no disrespect, right? That's what it is. So, all right, one more from Boselli. And again, Ross Tucker talking about needing a culture change. for this football team, and Tony was asked his reaction to that article in The Athletic, do the Jags need a culture change? Oh, that's six. That's Pacelli's six.
The one that came to mind immediately was the win at Buffalo in 1996. And the reason I say that is, first of all, nobody gave us a chance to do it. We're going against the vaunted Buffalo Bills.
Who that's had 5-E.
Four Super Bowl appearances under their belt, even though they didn't win any of them.
All right, that was Logman weighing in on one of his favorite Jag moments. You have six in there, reaction to Ross Tucker and how the Jags need a culture change? We do. Go ahead and fire that one up.
I think the saying that there is a completely overhaul needed of the culture, I think, might be a little drastic. But here's the thing. When he starts kind of summarizing all the things that have happened, it definitely says that there's some things that need to be fixed with this team.
Well, I know what it says. Do you agree with that? I think there are some things, you know. There's been some, I believe, finger-pointing or questioning, you know, and some of it's centered around Blake Bortles' play, and did Blake get, in the eyes of some defensive players, preferential treatment, things like that. Just the general sense that the defense is carrying too much of the load here and that the offense is not holding up their end of the bargain. Obviously, that was Jeff Logman weighing in, not Tony Pacelli, on that last cut. But do the Jags need a culture change? What do you think? 641-1010 is the number. Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports was on with us early this week, and on that particular day, we were doing one of the questions was, just give us your best three words to describe the Jaguar offseason to this point. It can be a phrase, it can be three standalone words, it can be whatever you want it to be. And he said, reset the culture was his phrase, because he thinks they are well on the way to doing that by bringing in Nick Foles, a guy who's going to command more respect and then is going to kind of act like a leader along the way. Here was Cody Benjamin of CBS Sports with us earlier in the week.
You know, I'd say reset the culture. I'm going to go with a phrase there. Again, I don't want to oversell Nick Foles, but you can't talk enough about how important the quarterback position is. It's important to understand that, yes, Nick Foles is not one of those top five, six, seven guys in the NFL that's going to just change everything. But I think he resets the culture enough in Jacksonville, whether that means by just improving the play of quarterback or whether that means instilling some actual leadership in a locker room that needed it.
All right, so that was an outside kind of perspective, and he thought that, again, that overall the gist of the article was, can Nick Foles save the Jaguars? And the way he ultimately defined saving the Jaguars was bringing them back into realistic playoff contention, right? Not that they're guaranteed to go to the Super Bowl or they're a lock to win the division, but will they be a team that realistically can have playoff hopes and feel like they can compete in the division? And he feels that, yes, Nick Foles can save them to that degree, that he is enough of an upgrade with what else is going around. Now, you're going to have better health on the offensive line, clearly, but you're going to have that in every city in the National Football League. If you have a wave of injuries at one or two key positions or one position group, it could devastate any team in the National Football League, no matter who they have. Look, you know, Aaron Rodgers has injuries around him. The Green Bay Packers aren't a lock to make the postseason. Maybe Tom Brady and company are a little bit more of a lock because they don't have too many guys at this point that they rely on as heavily. I'd wonder what would happen if they didn't have Julian Edelman, but I imagine they'd find somebody else to play the slot and catch 90-plus passes for them. And it would seem that they scout pretty well for what they demand of their particular players. But for the most part, any team that suffered the offensive line injuries the Jags did last year is going to struggle to maintain consistency. That doesn't mean we know that other aspects of that offense, read the quarterback position, had a big say in the matter as well. But at least from one outsider's perspective, not only does Cody Benjamin think he's going to help save this team, Nick Foles, that is, in other words, to bring it back to respectability on the field, but also his presence and the type of player he is and the type of leader he is already a step on the road to resetting the culture. We'll see if that's enough, as Ross Tucker certainly thinks this is arguably the most undisciplined team in the National Football League at this point in time, Will any of this become an issue? It'll become less of an issue if the Jags get off to a winning start and can continue to do that. They got off to a good start last year, but if they have that consistency, if they're halfway in and they're 6-2, I don't think you're going to be hearing too many stories about a bad locker room culture in the city of Jacksonville. Coming up, we got this state in football. We've got the Roland Reich roll around the National Football League as well. Next hour, we're giving away tickets to go see Guns N' Roses here in Jacksonville on the 1st of October at the Jacksonville Veterans Memorial Arena. We'll give you details on that. So be listening for your chance to score a pair of tickets to that concert. That's coming up in hour number two. Mike Dempsey and Emmanuel Thalerand here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
I swear to you, I think I remember this day every year because there are some days when, you know, you got like five Hall of Famers are born. Or if it's during football season, you've got all these milestones that happen on this particular date. In the offseason, you're relying on those birthdays for this feature. It gets pretty thin on some days. So we highlight Al Wilson today. Congratulations, Al. Five-time Pro Bowl linebacker. Very good player.
Very good player.
Right? 42 years old today, born in the state in 1977. Spent 8 years in the league, all those with the Denver Broncos. And by the age 30, injuries had caught up to him. He was a Pro Bowler in his final 2 years, so it's not like his play slipped. He had some kind of neck issue, something like that, it was one of those he needed to step away to make sure that he maintained his health for the long-term kind of deals. But Al Wilson, the pride of the Tennessee Volunteer Program, the 31st overall pick in 1999, born in the state in 1977. That's all I have for you on this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
Actually had a pretty newsy day yesterday. A pretty significant rule went in after another week was given to NFL teams, coaching staffs to put in input on the proposed pass interference review rule that's coming up. The NFL passed it unanimously yesterday. The pass interference review rule is officially finalized. It is only good for 1 year. They're going to see how it works out. They may tweak it along the way still, but as of now, the NFL Competition Committee unanimously recommending the rule for instant replay of pass interference for this season. According to the final rule, pass interference reviews after the two-minute warning of each half and during overtime will be initiated by the replay official, otherwise subject to a coach's challenge. The replay official is only supposed to stop the game when there is, quote, clear and obvious visual evidence that a pass interference penalty may or may not have occurred. Now, I take that to mean, because literally every play, it may or may not have occurred. I take that to mean if it's not called and it is clear that it may have occurred, or if it is called and it's clear that that may have been a bad call as well, that it may not have occurred. Those will be the circumstances when the review comes in. They're trying to limit excessive work stoppages, so any stoppage will occur under supposedly stricter criteria than other reviewable plays. Calls will only be reversed based on clear and obvious visual evidence, but that is the same standard that is in print for every review out there. And even under 2 minutes, all passing plays can be reviewed for pass interference, including Hail Marys, which at the end of a half or game will be reviewed in replay, as they say, consistent with the guidelines for officiating the play on the field. In other words, they can't – I don't know what the official edict is. You rarely see pass interference called, no matter how blatant it is, on a Hail Mary. Initially, it seemed like they're heading down a road where they were going to judge that to be a different kind of standard and you could allow more pushing and shoving. If it's pass interference, to me, it's pass interference. We'll see. I'm not going to freak out about this. We freak out about every rule change that comes down the line. This is going to ruin the game. It's going to slow down the game. And then in reality, it doesn't always play out that way. Look at the lowering the helmet rule from last. What happened? Nothing, right? I mean,
yeah, nothing.
No discernible impact on my enjoyment of the game, for sure.
The only real rule that had a huge impact as of late was that whole Calvin Johnson thing.
The catch, defining the catch. Yeah. Oh, sure. Look, I'm not saying it can't have that. I'm just saying let's wait and see, because I think people in their mind come up with these worst case scenarios that, oh man, we're going to have every drive, we're going to have two or three stoppages to review whether or not that was pass interference. I think the bar is going to be a little bit higher as far as that goes. One more, Alex Smith, kind of out of sight, out of mind after suffering a devastating leg injury, and some think he'll never play again. Was asked about that, speaking with Fox 5 in Washington, D.C., about that, as he's not going to play this season. Would he play? Would he resume his playing career at any point? Alex Smith said, that's the plan. That's the plan. Steps. I've got to conquer some more steps before I get there. I've got to learn to run again. That's a big one. I'm already throwing. I already feel like throwing is not a problem. I feel like I can throw, but dropping, moving around, all that kind of stuff, change of direction, that's going to be the test. For Alex Smith, it's weird to think you have to teach yourself how to run. You hear that a lot. Knock on wood, I haven't had to go through some kind of rehab that's that extensive, but you hear about people having to learn how to teach themselves how to walk again or whatever the case, and you're like, well, how can that be? But, you know, obviously it's a thing, right? I'm not a medical doctor. Alex Smith, I know just as a layman, that to think he's going to come back from that injury that he suffered, pretty gruesome, pretty devastating. Good luck to him, man, you know?
Like Ryan Shazier, I didn't think, like, the progress that he's made, I didn't think that, I didn't see that coming.
Right.
So, and I really don't see him playing again ever.
Oh, he's not playing. I think there'd be people lining up to block him. You know what I mean? Like, I say that kind of metaphorically, you know?
Right.
I think he's very content. You watch that video where he danced at his wedding, you know?
And he can't play football, bro.
He's not playing football, right? I mean, that guy is never going to play football again. And it's, but hey, you know what? So what? Okay? It's more to life than playing football, or more to life than any particular job you have at any given moment, hopefully. And, you know, for him to, like you said, I would hope there are people that feel like they have a fulfilling life, even if they're, you know, quadriplegic, paraplegic, whatever the case may be. I'm not saying you can't have a fulfilling life. I just think that anyone in that circumstance, to have that taken away, that would be one of their main desires. Can I just walk again? Can I lead a somewhat quote-unquote normal life, however you want to define that? And that's not to say that you know, if you're in a wheelchair, you're not an abnormal person. You just have a different set of circumstances that you're living through. And good for Ryan Shazier that he's been able to make it back on his feet, because you didn't know if he would, right? And certainly, though, yeah, football's got to be out of the question for that guy. So, as we said, you know, your life shouldn't be defined, hopefully, by the job you're in at any given time. But we're talking about jobs today. My son begins his first job at the St. Augustine Shores Golf Course next Monday at 8 a.m., and I feel like they're taking it easy on me. I don't want them to take it easy.
They're definitely going to take it easy.
Well, because 8 a.m., bro, there are people out on the course, and they've been out there for a while. So if you're going to learn course setup, I guess you're working on the back nine is my guess. But nevertheless, with that in mind, one of our questions today asks you, three-parter, what was your first job? What was your best job that you ever had, the one you enjoyed the most? And what was the worst job that you ever had? In follow-up to the story I was talking about grinding beef hearts for a Mexican restaurant, on the text line, which is built by Lifetime Enclosures, someone says, hey, just an FYI, I work in a Mexican restaurant here in Jacksonville. Trust me, it's not the one we were supplying. This is a St. Augustine establishment that's long been out of business. And he says, the first two ingredients of our hamburger meat is, number one, beef, and number two, beef hearts. Sounds strange, but it's delicious. That's great. We skipped number one, is what I'm trying to tell you here. We went straight to number two, and the chief ingredient was beef hearts, and I'm telling you, you don't want to know what was the filler that filled it out. But it wasn't beef, okay? It wasn't just like tubes, that fresh, delicious tube of 90% lean ground beef.
Angus beef,
grass-fed beef. None of the beefs were in there. So, yes, I think beef and beef hearts may sound strange. Don't find it that strange. It is delicious. What we were selling was delicious. I just felt like it was taking a fist and shoving it in your aorta and leaving it there to simmer for a few days. That's what it seemed like to me, E. And I just had to abstain. You know, sometimes, what do they say? Once you see how the sausage is made, you don't want to see how the sausage is made. This was as close. We didn't make sausage, but this was pretty darn close. So that's all I'm saying. All right, let me get, what do we have here? Glenn checking in here on Jaguars today. Wants to weigh in on the discussion on team culture. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
I'm great, except that my dinner's ruined. No burritos for me.
I'm sorry, brother. You know what? I'm sure that every establishment out there, as long as beef is the number one ingredient, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, not what I called about. But
okay.
After you see hot dogs made, you don't eat them either. But that's another subject.
Gotcha.
I was told to say I sit in section 113, row J, 1 and 2. Been a season ticket holder.
All right.
Been a season ticket holder since day one, and so I've seen a lot of premonitions about this culture of our team, how it's changed.
Sure.
So I like what you've been talking about, and I just wanted to weigh in on what I see, not what I hear. When I sit pretty much in back of the bench, so I'm able to watch them in between when the offense and defense aren't on the field and stuff.
Okay.
And Ramsey is an absolutely self-centered, selfish, immature football player with fantastic talent. But I have watched him consistently since day one come off the field when he gets beat and throw his helmet and pow. Nobody can talk to him, doesn't listen to the coaches, et cetera, et cetera. I think that as time wears out, long term, it will become apparent one of the big problems in our locker room is Jalen. And a lot of it comes out from him that gives other players permission to act out. Fournette and the running back last year sitting on the bench. I really am not a fan of keeping Jalen long term. And Mike, you're much more football savvy than I am, but I see this phenomenon going on all over the league where one or two prima donna players are ruining whole football teams. And really, football is one of those unique team sports where one player will not win the game from you unless he's Tom Brady, of course. And I think that the era that we're getting into where they're paying one guy all this money and letting other guys go is not the formula to win.
All right, Glenn, I appreciate all your comments there. I don't have your particular perspective sitting behind the bench the way you do, but I do appreciate you sharing them. So thanks for checking in. By the way, when you say, I was told to say this, all we ask you when you call the program is, are you a season ticket holder? How long have you been? Well, we're just trying to highlight. It's the 25th year, so it's not like we're trying to, force you to do anything bad here. Just trying to get a little perspective of how long you've been a Jaguar fan and how long you've been going to games and things like that. That's all. In terms of Jalen Ramsey destroying the locker room, any of this kind of stuff, again, when it's going well, I think you can put up with a lot of that stuff. If put up is the right phrase. When it's going poorly like it did last year, you're looking for reasons, scapegoats, whatever. Scapegoat seems like you're pointing the finger of blame where it doesn't belong, so maybe that's not the right term. I will say this. This is not the first era that's had people like this. Think of Deion Sanders. There was no bigger prima donna and me first guy than Deion Sanders.
The biggest.
And he continues to be that to this day.
Still is.
And this is from close observation of Deion Sanders for years and years and years, particularly during Super Bowl week and the way he conducts himself around people when they can't offer him anything of benefit. But Deion Sanders, all that didn't keep his team from winning football games, right? I think it depends on the position. If it does overtake the locker room and guys feel like they've got permission to act out however you want to look at it, and maybe this is something. I mean, Leonard Fournette, I'll say this. Jalen making an Instagram video saying, man, I'm going to have to get paid. Jalen's arguably the best player who plays his position in the National Football League. You may not agree with the methodology, but the sentiment is there. For Leonard Fournette to get hopping on there and saying, they better save some of that money for me, I'm like, you are truly the most tone-deaf individual I've seen this week, right? I mean, go do something worth rewarding with a new contract, because right now, you may be right, Glenn. They may go down that road of paying him for his fourth year. I'm talking about Jalen Ramsey. fifth-year option, fourth-year this season, fifth-year option, and franchise him, tag him, kind of play it out year to year, and that stretches out for nearly the next half decade. That's 4 years they could go that route, conceivably. But at least there is a body of work that you, if you put some of the personality stuff aside, you'd say, we want to invest in having Jalen Ramsey around here. Leonard Fournette has done nothing to approach that yet. 3.3 yards per carry last year. He needs to worry about going out there, A, staying healthy, staying available, doing all the right things, putting himself in position to help this team, and then actually performing at a high level when he gets the opportunity to do that. He's been great with a nose for the goal line when given those opportunities. It's got to be more than that as the fourth overall pick in the draft. We got to take a time out here, get a little bit behind. Coming up, we got Guns N' Roses tickets for you, so stick around. Your chance to score those is straight ahead. Mike Dempsey and ET here with you, Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Hey, man, I got to ask you, have you ever heard of a band called Guns N' Roses?
Yeah, I heard of them, man.
Vaguely, somewhere?
Yeah.
Somewhere I in the back so. Of your mind? Jack O'Brien actually asked us that question yesterday. Maybe he just thought I'm so old that I'm senile at this point.
We were both confused.
Like, right? Like, we looked at each other like, I think he thought we were trying to figure out if we've heard of them. We're trying to figure out, why would anyone ask that question? Of course we've heard of Guns N' Roses. They are coming to Jacksonville, and you could score a pair of tickets if you call right now at 641-1010. We'll take the fifth caller. Fifth caller, and the fifth caller will receive a pair of tickets to see Guns N' Roses live in concert at the Veterans Memorial Arena on October 1st. Tickets are on sale right now, by the way. They went on sale at 10 o'clock this morning at Ticketmaster.com. So if you don't win, they've been on sale for close to an hour and a half. If you want good seats, they're probably going quickly. Hop on board Ticketmaster.com. Caller number 5 right now at 641-1010. E will hook you up. By the way, the tickets are not in-house yet. When they do arrive, the winners will be contacted, and you'll get your ducats, and we got plenty of time to get things straight for you. So that's October 1st. Check your calendar. Clear your dates and all that stuff. It's the only pair this show has to give away today, although XL Primetime will be giving away a pair later on this afternoon, and the Sports Den will be giving away a pair tonight. We got a winner. E, winner's first name is what? Give me a first name on the winner.
Joe.
Joe, congratulations to Joe. Joe Coward's out all week, and he's calling trying to win tickets. I'm pretty sure that's not Joe Coward. All right, so there you go. Joe gets a pair of tickets to go see Guns N' Roses live in concert coming up on October 1st at the Veterans Memorial Arena downtown. Again, tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. So if you did not win, maybe you'll win a pair later on today here on 1010XL, or maybe you'll get off that staple in your wallet and go buy yourself a pair of tickets to go see Axl Rose in concert. That's football season for me. I'm not a concert goer. I'm not a big concert goer at this stage of my life. I do enjoy live music. Every time I go to a concert, I think to myself, why don't I do this more often? Because I really do love, I've seen some great acts, some of my favorite acts over the years. Last summer, I think it was last summer, my wife and I, down at Daly's Place, saw Journey, at least as they're presently constituted in Asia. And that was fun. I had a good time with that, you know? I don't need any street cred. I'll go see Asia in concert. Doesn't bother me. I know, because I know like 90% of their songs, and that's the fun part. You get to sing along. So there you have it. Joe going to Guns N' Roses in October. E, let's get to the good stuff now. All right.
What's up?
The good music.
What's
okay?
up?
We were talking yesterday about sports related or sports themed songs, and of course the Super Bowl Shuffle comes up, and we all had to refresh our memories and go back and realize that they released that 2 months prior to the Super Bowl. Yet, unlike, Jags going to the Super Bowl, it did not jinx them, right? So, clearly, Clay High School, now, give me a time frame here. When were you starring in the backfield for Clay High School?
2003 and 2004.
Okay.
Junior and senior year.
Starter?
Both years.
Both years. Starter?
But we rotated. But yeah, started.
You're not right. You're not overselling yourself here. I'm just trying to get a feel. I'll be honest with you. You know, people like Hacker does a great job with the high school scene, you know, has for years and covers it really into it. It's just never been my thing, right? So I'm sure You were starring. I was doing a little radio, and your exploits should have come to my attention, but they didn't because that's my nature.
So
all right, it's 2003, 2004. Give us some background. How does this whole thing come about?
So the district champ shuffle was in 2004, and our district was pretty good. Consisted of Ridgeview, Orange Park, Clay High School, and Middleburg High.
Okay.
Later on, Fleming Island came, but yeah. So during
nobody likes them anyway. Yeah.
During homecoming, like we used to do a big pep rally during the day and at night. And one of my fellow running backs had this idea.
Can we give his name?
Curtis Francis.
Okay, Curtis Francis.
He was one of the leading rushers in the area in Jacksonville. He had an idea. He was like, hey, we need to do a district champ shuffle. And basically, we're like, what do you mean? You know, you've heard of the Super Bowl shuffle, right? Yeah, we need to do a district champ shuffle. And we were all on board. So a bunch of the players, we got together, we went to the media room, and we had to create a verse. And created the district champ shuffle.
And you are now this – were you the lead verse in this thing? I know you were in front. I've seen the video.
Mm-hmm.
At least of your part, I've watched it. And you were front and center. You are the biggest freaking ham, which you continue to be. It's not that you're a ham. You're a people person.
Right.
You have no embarrassment or anything. You like being up in front of people.
It doesn't bother me.
It just goes to show why truly – you know so many people. You just have a very engaging personality, and it was on display here. You're not going to be able to see E, although you can go to @IME2T.
Yes, sir.
On Twitter. Follow him, for goodness sakes, you criminals out there who are stealing glances at his Twitter feed without following him. And you can hear it for yourself, but E, let's play your featured role here in the District Champ Shuffle.
It's your boy E.T., and I'm no fool. The scoring touchdown is what I do. You see me hit, you see me run four touchdowns, and then I'm done. I can dance, you will see. These boys, they all learn from me. I ain't come here for no trouble. I'm just here to do the district champ show.
Not bad. And I got to say, you were doing all the dance moves with that.
I still remember my line. I still remember all of it.
Man. Oh, he was mouthing the words. He was going through all the motions, pointing at his boys behind him. And it much better if you go into Twitter or on social media. You found it on YouTube, right?
Facebook.
Oh,
I had to
Facebook.
Go on Facebook. But I'll repost it on the 1010 page. It's on my page as well as Mike's page.
Do that. Absolutely. I retweeted them out yesterday as well, so you can find that in my timeline. But do give E a follow. Just a burgeoning ham back in the day, right? I mean, that's what he was. And you know, you got a microphone in front of you right now. I've seen you work a crowd. I've seen you work a room. I'm not surprised, right? And then very well done. I thought, honestly, the whole thing was pretty well done considering it was a bunch of high school guys, you know, throwing that kind of thing together.
Curtis was the head guy, so he was the first verse. And, of course, I closed it.
No doubt. You got to bring it home, man.
The grand finale.
Four touchdowns, then you're done.
And then I'm done.
Okay? Just four is enough. I'm not greedy here. Mind not a you, glory hog.
I've never had a game where I scored four touchdowns. Never.
That's awesome. That's even better. That makes the story that much better. All right, so we've given away Guns N' Roses tickets. We've heard the District Champ Shuffle, at least the good part of the District Champ Shuffle. If there are any other Clay High School alumni out there from – the football team circa 2003-2004. I'm sure your part was very good as well, just not as good.
Nolan is also in it. And
oh, is he?
It's horrible.
Is he?
He is horrible.
Oh, do you guys like goof on him all the time whenever you see him about it?
Oh, when we reposted that, it resurfaced after 10 years sometime last year.
Right.
Oh, we were killing him. We were killing him.
As you should. Right,
Cliff also was supposed to be in it, but he was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Cliff was smart. Cliff, knowing, seeing the future, knowing he had a career, thought, no, I'm not this. You know, even in the pre-social media days, videotape can come back to haunt
you. It'll come back and get you.
Man, I'm so glad we did not have phones with cameras on them throughout most of my life, E. I'll be honest with you, because I have done some stupid things that I do not need memorialized for anybody to see.
And people catch everything.
They catch everything. man. It's all out there. You know what? You just got to enjoy that. This is not an embarrassing thing for you. It was fun. You're a bunch of kids having a good time.
Don't bother me.
And you really did a good job. Honestly, the look of it looked just like the Super Bowl shuffle. If you could picture that video in your head, you know, the guys standing around, different guys stepping to the front, doing the whole thing. I thought it was well done by the guys at Clay. So if you out there in the listening audience have a semi-embarrassing sports-related video that you'd like us to put all over social media, get it in our hands, and we'll be happy to share yours as well out there. Today, double dueling questions of the day presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. We asked you kind of a boring one, but wanted to tie in something sports-related. And would you prefer that the NFL have their offseason like the NBA does and have the draft prior to free agency? Yes, no, or no preference. We'll look at the results of that. And more fun with my son embarking on his first job. Thanks again to Mike Pullen at the St. Augustine Shores. I hope the lad has the work ethic that I've tried to instill in him. But he starts Monday as general golf course hand, right? Whatever they need, that's what you're going to do, son. You're going to say yes, sir, no, sir, and you're going to do whatever they ask of you. And then we'll see how that whole thing goes. So we're asking you today, what was your first job? What was your best job? And I think most fun, what was your worst job as well? So we'll read through a lot of the responses that we got on that coming up on the other side. Mike Dempsey and ET hanging out all week long with you. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Hey, what's happening? This is Hall of Famer Brian Dawkins, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, thank you, B-Dawg. Here we go, Jaguars Today, final segment of the week. Survived without Fat Tony, thanks to Emmanuel Thalloran. And then you reminded me, I thought Tony had a vacation coming up. Is he out next week?
I think he might be out, man.
Are we subjecting Jacksonville, Florida to more of me again? I mean, a greater volume of me. I'm going to be here regardless.
They've been wanting it, though.
I don't know about that, man. You're very nice to say.
They've been wanting it.
It's what it is. It's a chance for Emmanuel Thalloran to crack the mic more and take his trip down memory lane with the district champ shuffle. So either way, we'll be back next week from 10 to noon doing our thing here. I meant to say this all week, since Tuesday, and it keeps slipping my mind, and so I'll say it now. Hadn't been in Tony D's Pizza in a little while. Tony D was one of my first sponsors back when I was selling my own advertising on the station, stuff like that. He stayed with me for years and years and years, still with the station. Phenomenal guy, Tony DeSimone, Bay Meadows and 295, right behind the Walgreens. Tony D's Pizza, the best freaking pizza in Jacksonville. I was up in Manhattan, I guess it was last week, and we stopped in. It's a little pizza joint because you got to get some pizza when you're in New York because it's just better. The water, it's something about the water in New York, I'm telling you. And Tony D told me years ago, he makes the drive. He will take a truck and bring back water to make his dough because he does it on a regular basis because I'm telling you, there's something different about the taste. True New York pizza compared to just what, you know, New York style pizza or whatever. Anyway, I'm a New York pizza snob. So I'm in there, and we see on the big board menu the grandma pie, which is what I always got from Tony D's, which was kind of like, you know, you got a thick Sicilian, you know, it's like an inch and a half thick or whatever, and you got the thin crust, just a slice that you think of. And grandma pie is kind of like a crust somewhere halfway in between. And for whatever reason, they put the cheese on, they put the sauce on top of the cheese. Don't know why, right? All the other pizzas, you flip it around. But it's the best freaking slice of pizza in Jacksonville, in my humble opinion. It had been too long. Went and saw Tony on Monday, brought the family in there for lunch, and it lived up to my memory and exceeded it. So
there you say go. They put the cheese on before the sauce.
The cheese goes on. They got the dough all spread out in the pan. They make them fresh. They don't, like, you don't get it. You get a grandma pie, they're going to make it on the spot for you. It's not going to be one that, we're just going to pop it in and reheat this bad boy. And, yeah, the cheese goes on there, then, like, rows of sauce. Hard to – trust me. You go there once and get this, you'll be thinking about it every time you order pizza. You'll be like, oh, man, I wish I was at Tony D's right now eating that grandma pie. I'm telling you. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to a longtime friend – of the station, friend of myself, and a longtime sponsor at 1010XL, still killing it over there at Bay Meadows and 295. This one on the text line built by Lifetime Enclosures is from Colin. We're talking about Cody Benjamin and resetting the culture. He says, I completely agree with Cody Benjamin. The Jags need a culture change, and then Nick Foles will help do that. I think that not having solid leadership or play from the offensive side of the ball the past several years has contributed to this problem. There have been numerous issues coming from the locker room over the last year. The London incident, Fournette, Telvin Smith, Ramsey, that needs to change. These guys need to grow up and focus on winning football games. They got cocky last year, and look what happened. Hopefully they let their play do the talking for a change and can win more than they lose this year. That was from Colin, his opinion there, weighing in. Let's see. I had a couple that went like kind of back and forth on that a little bit as well. Here we go. This one said about a caller who called in earlier saying, you know, he was a lifetime season ticket holder since inception for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, you know, his points, he felt along those lines that there were some maturity problems on this team. And get one text in from the 407, caller making good points. That's all he said, you know, in reaction to him. Very next one, tell that lifelong Gator fan to pack sand. Ramsey's a Jag for life. And you have it, you know.
Why he got to be a Gator fan, though?
I guess that, you know, that's the maybe it's the assumption because he's not embracing the tomahawk chopping Jalen Ramsey. I don't know. I don't know, right? It just, to me, it's just funny. Like, two people literally within seconds of each other hear the same thing, and their reaction couldn't be on more opposite ends of the spectrum. Here's some. Let me get to a few here on the text line about first, best, and worst jobs that you've ever had. Let's see. First job, mowing lawns. A lot of us had that. I did mow lawns for a brief period. It wasn't consistent enough that I would call it a job. I got paid, did a few lawns. It wasn't my thing.
I never did that.
I did a few, but I still consider it like my first real job was bagging groceries at Publix. Back in the day. And maybe I'd still be there, not bagging groceries, hopefully. Hopefully I would have moved along. The overall store manager, like I'd go back to work in the summer. I was going to Flagler College, right? And I'd go back, and they'd bring me back for a couple months. Very nice. And, you know, I was stocking shelves or doing whatever. And the manager one day goes, hey, I'd like you to consider quitting school and coming to work here full time. And by the time you're 21, you'll be an assistant store manager making X and you'll be on the path to being a store. And I'm like, if he had said, look, I respect the fact that you're getting a degree in whatever you're getting a degree in, not grocery store science, okay? And that there'll be a job waiting for you when you get out. I may have gone that route, but it so put me off that he's like, why don't you quit college and come here and get in the workforce and do this? And it was just like, why can't I do both? Why, you know, I just thought that was a miscalculation. But who knows, maybe I would have been the big, most loudmouth public store manager in history, talking sports with whoever would walk in the front door. That's probably what I would have done. I would have just hung out. I would have delegated. I'd have been a hell of a delegator. Do this, do this, do this. I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to run my mouth and talk to people because that's what I'm good at, or at least what I enjoy. So first job, mowing lawns. Worst job, cropping tobacco. Best job, a bartender at 18 years old at a country club, ripe with cougars. I'm not familiar with the term, E. What can you tell me about the cougars? No, I'm kidding. I know exactly what he's talking about. So good for you. Another one. First job, cutting grass. Best job, minor league baseball player for 7 years. That would be a great job. I mean, the pay's not exorbitant, but you're playing baseball for your career. Mm-hmm. Worst job was laying pavers, paving stones, not the yeah. I mean, look, I've done some manual labor stuff. It's fine. I wouldn't want to do it 40 hours a week. God bless those of you that do. There's no honest job that's a bad one.
Somebody got to do it.
If it puts food on the table, man, be proud of it. You know, honestly, first job laying sod for the McCumbers house at the Ravines Golf Course. You remember the Ravines Golf Course? It's closed now.
Yep.
They used to call it, I think, Florida's Mountain Course, right? Which was, you know, kind of a joke, but it did have some elevation changes that you don't see very often at Florida courses. Worst job, selling encyclopedias door to door. The only house that let me in was a Marine recruiter. 2 months later, I was in boot camp.
So that's awesome.
Who got sold?
So that probably is his best job.
Well, He said his worst job was selling the encyclopedias. Maybe his best job was being a Marine.
It works together.
I guess. I mean, we used to have encyclopedias in the house because we didn't have internet because there wasn't internet, okay? And we had, God, I think it was Funkin' Wagnalls set from 1959, copyright 1959, and it was missing a few volumes. So you better not want to know about anything with the letter G, okay? But if you can skip to H, you're going to be just fine. At least what we thought 20 years ago was the truth, right? Because this was like in the late 70s, early 80s at the house.
Would you read those? Right, you
I'd use them as reference if I was doing a school paper. I wouldn't like sit there and read. I did used to read the Guinness Book of World Records. I was a strange lad back in the day. But I used to get the Guinness Book for like Christmas. I'd want it every year. You know, it was fascinating to me. Let's see. Here's a few more. First job for Meta World Crazy, paperboy. Best job, delivering pizza in high school. Worst job, telemarketing, which sucked, and where I was also working on the morning of 9/11. Man, that's – I remember driving in, listening – Joe Cowart on the radio doing Lamb at Large with David Lamb is where I heard about the Twin Towers attack on the way in. It was obviously a terrible time. JagFan15, first job, custodial engineer. He puts a little side glance face next to it. Best job, house demolition. Oh, yeah. Just go to town, man. Whether you're going sledgehammer or something even bigger. You know, I don't know if you got to drive some heavy machinery doing that. And worst job, material handler at a steel mill. That does not sound fun at all.
At all.
No. You want to talk about hot. First job from TFS Godfather, working in a peanut field. Best job is my current job, commander in the United States Air Force. Our salute to you, Godfather. And worst job, working in the watermelon fields. Let's see. First job, ride operator at the boathouse of Wicksteed Park. This is from Stoff. Best job, dot, dot, dot. Maybe he feels like he hasn't had a good one.
Still looking for it.
Right? And worst was industrial washing machine operator that cleaned hospital sheets and blankets. He said, the only plus side now is my immune system is amazing. I wonder, did that industrial washing machine, did it tilt up when you pressed a button and it had a secret lab below it, or am I confusing your life with Breaking Bad? I'm not sure how that went. One more here from Jose Colon Torres. First job at a car wash in Orange Park back in the 90s. The best job, the Sports Authority in Orange Park. I met Barry Windham, the wrestler. I only went to wrestling in person one time, and that was at the DeLand National Guard Armory, and Barry Windham was a featured performer in that. And the worst was working at a company with my uncle, no clue what I was doing, but he was just trying to help me out. Hey, you want a job? Yeah, what are we going to do? I'm not going to tell you. just show up, and maybe he's blocked it out of his mind as well. Let's check in with Hacker.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings come with a heaping side of peace of mind, not to mention the free chips and salsa, delivery, and setup. Visit moescateringfl.com.
Hello, Hack. How are you?
Mike, I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm fine. Excellent. The Yankees are sizzling hot right now. The Knicks did not try to get cute with the R.J. Barrett pick last night, so... you know, small victories right now.
Hey, I love the R.J. Barrett pick. There's, to me, a better-than-not chance he is the best player that's going to come out of this draft. I think Barrett's a great selection.
Well, I mean, he was an obvious one, at least. And they didn't, you know, I get to see it would have been so James Dolan to overrule and say, no, we're getting this guy, you know. Just...
Or trade him to Atlanta. I guess Atlanta offered 8 and 10 to move
right,
up to 3.
Right,
so the Knicks move down and take two obscure guys.
Didn't want that. It was, and then I saw the package and I realized that they gave up 8 and 17 in the deal with the Pelicans
right.
last night. Anyway, let's get to the good stuff here, Hack. You don't have an extensive work history because you stayed like in the sports radio job for a long time, right? And you're younger than I am. So first, best and worst jobs for you.
First job was actually the worst job. For 2 days, I earned $41 at a suntanning salon where the idea that I had going in there, my job was to clean suntanning beds.
Mm.
Okay. And I'm thinking as a 17-year-old kid, well, I'm going to be able to see hot chicks come in here and tan, right?
Of course.
That's the idea. That's not the case, actually, as a matter of fact. A lot of beefy dudes come in there and tan, so
sure.
I had to clean up after them, and A lot of women come in there that I wouldn't classify as attractive. And then they also rub all this suntanning lotion all over themselves.
Sure.
So when they get in the beds and they smear them all up and it's just gross and awful, my job was to go in there with the spray can and the rag and wipe down the beds.
And you made it to day two, but not day three.
Made it to day two. It was unbelievably
disgusting.
Did you
walk out or did you...
I think after the second day, I pretty much told my mom I'd had enough of this because her friend hooked me up with the job.
So you got to at least put in 2 days.
Yeah, right? I politely said thank you, but no thank you. And I earned $41 for those 2 days of work. That was my first job and my worst job. And then the best job, obviously, like you said, I'm 35 years old, 17 years of which has been spent in some capacity in sports radio.
Yeah, don't ruin it for the rest. We all have the best job right now.
That's right. We really do,
Hacker. Knowing you, you still have that $41, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it's buried under the
tucked away.
House.
Yes. Hack, have a great show today.
Thanks, man.
All right, along with Matt Hayes and Leon Searcy. Joe C's been out all week. Yeah, I'm going to spend the last couple minutes here. I'm going to forget the first, forget the best. Let's go right to the worst jobs that people have had, okay?
Let's do it.
You're on social media. Another one, picking tobacco. A waiter, a lot of customers sucked, and the owner was an a-hole. I lasted about 6 months before I dipped. Car sales, let's see, digging out all the old sand from 70-plus bunkers. These are some of the worst tasks that kayak fish had. Assembling stadium bleachers, weed-eating acres of trees on a tree farm, and roofing. The Marine Corps, said Jamie, was his worst experience. Let's see, worst working just a few weeks for Kmart, and the pantry manager went AWOL. The store manager gave me the job with the same pay. I was 17. I would think the pay would have made it okay.
Right.
Right. You're probably in over your head. Let's see. Worst job, 1.5 weeks making calls to sell credit cards in San Diego. All right. None of these sound particularly good. That's why they're the worst that you've ever had. Customer service rep. Boy, customer service reps have to deal with people like me. I am not. I expect my service to be customized.
Impeccable.
You customer service rep. Yes, impeccable. And I do make a point to tell people as I'm yelling at them on the phone, I realize this is not your fault personally.
I do the same thing.
I do say that. I say, but I have to vent a little bit here.
Somebody got to get it.
Somebody's going to get it. I know it's not really your fault. I do say that. I honestly do. Does that make it any better? I'm sure they're going, a-hole.
Do you hit them right with the all love receiver after you?
I always go, no disrespect, comma, all love, and I throw the fist on there. And so we're good, E. I think if we've learned nothing else this week, if you say it's all love, it's still all love. Put a smiley face on it. Just continue on with your business. All right, E, great week, man. I appreciate all the hard work you put in, as always. Thanks for everybody else out there for listening and participating in our various questions every day, brought to you by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. With or without Fat Tony, me and E, we're right back here on Monday. That's a threat and a promise to you from 10 to noon doing Jaguars today. So for Fat Tony, for Joe Fortunato, for all our great co-hosts this week, I'm Mike Dempsey saying have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Joe Jacksonville, let's go to the...